Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
In studio with us this morning, Western New York's most decorated Vietnam War veteran, Steve Banco of Buffalo. Steve, you're probably the closest person to understand what is happening right now with David Bellavia. And we thought that you could kind of share that with our audience this morning. You're the most decorated Vietnam veteran in Western New York, a veteran of two combat tours, severely wounded. You received four Purple Hearts, an Air Medal, four Bronze Stars, two Silver Stars, and a Combat Infantry Badge. What a list.
Well, it's, it was the wrong place at the wrong time, I guess, and the right result. But when you read what Sergeant Bellavia did to get his Medal of Honor, mine seems to pale in comparison to what he did that day in Fallujah. Reading that kind of makes you forget all about all of the war movies you ever saw and think about what actually happens to people in combat and who rises to the occasion.
I would imagine for someone like you, it's a lot different reading the description of what David did than for someone like me. You know, for someone who's been in combat situations before, to kind of understand what was going through his head at the time and everything else he had to deal with beside just what you read about.
Well, one of the things that one of the big differences between his experience and mine was he was fighting house to house, and we were in a jungle. We were in a jungle situation, so we didn't often close quite as close to the enemy as he did in that one structure where most of the fighting took place. So to get that up close and personal, that's a special kind of guy that can face that kind of danger and still keep his head in the game, if you will, to make sure that he's in control of himself at the same time that adrenaline is trying to take control of you and push you in different ways.
David, in an interview since being announcing that he was getting this award, you know, said that this is an award of geography, not of valor, because if anyone in his unit was in the position he was in, they would have done the same thing.
Well, we would like to think that you know, that there were people that would do the same thing. The usually when somebody gets a medal like this, you feel a little bit humble about it because there are so many people around you. But when I saw a reenactment of what David did, I don't know what it was, some years ago, when he had just been awarded the Silver Star. And in the reenactment, I was thinking to myself, my God, that's all he got, was a Silver Star for that. And now to realize that there had been a review going on, the only thing that comes to mind now is what took so long. You know, this was something that was truly exceptional.
That was mentioned by quite a few people, what took so long, and the whole bureaucracy of making these decisions, which for some reason is in place. You know, for people who don't know your story, I think that would be nice to kind of remind people of some of your service. And, Susan mentioned how decorated of a veteran you were. You know, if you could kind of give people a sense of what you went through in Vietnam.
Well, I got a kick out of it. In Florida, particularly, there's a lot of retired veterans, and when we're down there in the winter, and people see my license plate, I have a Purple Heart license plate, and they always say thank you for your service, and I always tell them it wasn't my idea. I was drafted after I was. I guess I could put it gracefully, unsuccessful in three colleges before I got drafted. And, you know, it wasn't like I ran down to the post office and couldn't wait to enlist. But once you get put in that situation, you get into a situation where failure is no longer an option. And you begin to realize, as you move through different ranks, and you become responsible for other people. Like I was the same rank as David. I was a sergeant in charge of a squad. And you become, it's not just yourself that you're taking care of anymore. It's the other 8 or 12 guys. What kind of strength you have at the time. So there's a lot going through your mind about trying to survive yourself, but at the same time making sure that that the men around you have what they need to survive as well. One of the worst things that you can do in combat is to bring guys into a situation where you know that somebody's going to get hurt, and somebody always gets hurt. No matter how well prepared you are, how well equipped you are, how well trained you are, somebody's going to get hurt. It's like getting in a fist fight in the playground. You know, the winner always gets at least the black eye. You know, and to ask these young kids. And I was an old man when I was in Vietnam. I turned 22 in my first tour. And I think the experience now with the current army is a little different. The soldiers tend to be a little bit older. But when I was in Vietnam, most of the soldiers were 18 and 19 years old. And so you're acting as a lot of different things in that situation, trying to guide them through a lot of turmoil, personal turmoil, and then the turmoil of combat as well.
Joining us live in studio now is Western New York's most decorated Vietnam War veteran, Steve Banco. Steve's been joining us in studio for the last number of moments. We were talking a little bit about your service, what you went through, comparing that with what David went through during his service. Wondering, you know, we hear so much of Vietnam War veterans and the reception they got when you came back home. And how, you know, maybe because the war was unpopular, the troops weren't appreciated as much. Do you feel like that's changed over the years? And do you think that maybe because of this honor that David's getting, being the first living soldier from the Iraq War to receive the Medal of Honor, that he might help people appreciate what soldiers in that war have been able to do?
Brian, I think that if there was one lasting, legacy from Vietnam, it was the country found out how not to treat veterans. There was a lack of intellectual sophistication, as I saw it when I came home, that did not allow people to separate an unpopular war from the warriors who lived in their own neighborhoods. When I came home in 1970, I started night school at UB. And I was an English major, and I got kicked out of an English class after the teacher found out that I had been a Vietnam veteran. And that was when I went to the administration to tell them about the situation. They said, well, you know, we can get you in another class, another professor, same night, you won't miss a beat. But I was kind of dumbfounded that was allowed to precipitate in the climate that Vietnam veterans were coming home to. So if we did teach the country anything with our own service, we did teach the country that soldiers are honorable in what they're trying to do. The mission is not ours to decide all the time. And you know, in David's case, you look at, him recognizing the peril that his men were facing. And that's all that mattered. You mean you don't think about the flag and you don't think about mom and apple pie and all of the stuff you hear about on the grand patriotic holidays. You think about the guy on your right and left. And, you know, if they're in peril, who's going to save them? And if not me, who? And you do it because you expect that if it was you in that situation, that someone would come to your aid as well. I'm alive, literally, because of a man who received the Medal of Honor posthumously in the battle, the big battle that I was in December 3rd, 1968. He literally saved my life at the cost of his own. So when you think about what it is that's going through somebody's mind, David, in his case, you know, going upstairs, up bloody stairs, engaging insurgents hand to hand. I mean, that's a little mind-boggling for me to, you know, when you're that up close and personal, when the war becomes that close to you. And so, you know, those things can be very haunting to somebody when you come home. And one of the things that can provide a salve for that is the way that you're received. And I don't think anybody needs to be carried on anybody else's shoulders or wear a laurel or, you know, the old days they wrote, I think Horace was the one that said, it's sweet and fitting to die for one's country. Hemingway, much later, said, there, you know, in the old days they wrote, it was sweet and fitting. In modern war, there's nothing sweet nor fitting. You die like a dog for no good reason. I hesitate to say that any of the brave men and women who fought or are still fighting in Afghanistan and in the Middle East or elsewhere around the world are dying like dogs, but it's difficult sometimes to think about the reasons that they die.
With Steve Benko in studio this morning, Steve, we've been hearing that David Bellavia's life is going to begin a new trajectory now that he's a Medal of Honor recipient. Do you have any idea what he might be in for?
Well, no, I don't. I can imagine, though. I know that he's an articulate guy. I know that I was in his company once. We did one of the honor flights at the airport at like 5 a.m., which used to be a time that I'd be coming home instead of going out to send veterans off to Washington to see the World War II Memorial. But he will be in, I'm assuming he will be in much greater demand now to tell his story and to tell the story of the men he served with. And that's the legacy of being designated a hero, is that you not only have the responsibility to live up to that designation, but also to inform and enlighten people in civilian life, especially now when so few people serve in the military. What our men and women in uniform are going through on a daily basis. You know, we're not all called to make the same kind of sacrifice that David did, but we're all called to be the same kind of human being that had that extraordinary compassion for his fellow soldiers. And I'm sure that he will live up to the legacy of the medal.
What exactly is David Bellavia in for now that he is being awarded the Medal of Honor? That distinction is set to officially happen later this month. We are in studio with Steve Benko, Western New York's most decorated Vietnam War veteran. Steve, you were telling the importance of sharing these stories to try and get people to realize exactly what a soldier goes through. And now that David is being awarded the Medal of Honor, that more people might be interested in hearing this story and that it will reach more ears. Is that really the key here, to try to get people to just understand on some level what it's like to be a combat veteran, to, you know, increase whether it is awareness of some of the veterans' issues, or even if it is just a sympathetic ear toward a veteran?
Well, one of the things that that we faced when I came home was this notion that we were whiners and crybabies because there was something that we now know as post-traumatic stress. One of the things that that David could be helpful with, and I'm sure will be helpful with, is helping people to understand that that's a real diagnosis. That's not a phony claim for some kind of compensation. It's a real and debilitating thing. This notion that you're either afflicted with survivor guilt. For many years, I could not get over the idea that the guy who saved my life died. And why did he do that? And why didn't, you know, why wasn't it reversed? And I was a drunk for 12 years. The first 12 years that I came home, I was an alcoholic. I'm still an alcoholic. I just don't drink anymore. David will become an ambassador, not just for the medal and not just for the heroism of the men and women who serve, but he will be an ambassador for the idea that that there is an ongoing responsibility that this country owes to the men and women who serve in combat, and that's something I don't think that most people understand. I think the 75th anniversary of D-Day I was in tears most of the day watching, you know, some of the ceremonies because I couldn't really get my head around what those guys in that first wave must have experienced, the stark terror. My uncle was a B-17 pilot in World War II. Never spoke about his experience in the war. Never. We the only reason we knew he was in an airplane, much less a pilot, was we saw pictures of him with the big leather fleece suits that because of the cold weather that they flew in. After I came home from Vietnam, he would pull me aside at all of the family gatherings and tell me what had happened to him. And he said, "I can tell you because you know what it's like to be afraid." And I think that's part of the legacy that David will find, that now that he is going to be recognized on a level with very few other Americans, that his heroism, his dedication to his fellow soldiers is not going to stop now when they put that medal around his neck. Actually, that'll be the end of the beginning. And then he will begin another chapter where we hope, and I'm sure that, I mean, as little as I know him, that he will be the kind of ambassador and spokesman for all of us, and the notion that that we're still owed the care that we were promised when we stepped forward to serve.
We are going to be joined by David Bellavia in just a matter of minutes, but finishing up our conversation this morning with Steve Benko, Western New York's most decorated Vietnam War veteran. We're talking about the meaning behind the Medal of Honor. You were talking a little bit about the person who saved your life being awarded the Medal of Honor. I'm wondering if you could put into words what being awarded with that means to somebody who served.
Well, Brian, as I mentioned, one of the things that that combat, the thing that binds you together in combat is that that confidence that if I get in trouble, somebody's going to be there to try to help me out. As a leader of men in combat, they will follow you anywhere. Your men will follow you anywhere as long as they know that you're not wasting their courage, that you're not telling them to do something ridiculous, you know, that what you're doing is worth the sacrifice perhaps of their lives. So when we were in an action where we were surrounded by a regiment of North Vietnamese soldiers, they outnumbered us about 4-1, and we were under constant attack, and I had a machine gun behind an anthill. And the good news is you have a machine gun. The bad news is they know you have the machine gun and everybody is concentrating their fire to try to get rid of the machine gun. And the anthill got struck with a rocket-propelled grenade, blew the barrel off of the machine gun. So I had about 700 rounds of machine gun ammunition that I thought I would be reduced to throwing them at the enemy, because I had no... And this guy recognized, John Holcomb, his name was, he's from Oregon. Similar situation to mine, he was a football player at Oregon State and got kicked out because he failed a subject. But he recognized the situation and didn't hesitate to run 50 yards across this bullet-swept battlefield to bring me another machine gun. And in the process got shot 4 times in the chest. At the time when everything is happening in real time, you don't have time to fully grasp the gravity of the situation and the enormity of the sacrifice. It's when things slow down. Like when I was in the hospital, I became almost catatonic, thinking about all of my men who had died on that day. We had 86% casualties in that one action. Our rifle company literally ceased to exist after that. So when you get a gift like that, when somebody makes that kind of sacrifice for you, the only thing that matters with the rest of your life is how do you honor that sacrifice? How are you going to live your life? Are you going to waste it as I was wasting mine, drinking myself into oblivion? Or are you going to honor that sacrifice in some meaningful way? And we've tried to do that. We had a scholarship program for children of Vietnam veterans. We planted a grove of trees out in Sprague Brook Park in honor of all of the guys who never came back. We put the monument up down on the waterfront. That's always been the commitment is that we will do this for each other. And even the guys who are gone, we're still trying to do it for each other. We're still trying to do it so that people remember who we are, what we did, and most importantly, how much we loved each other.
I bet not a day goes by that you don't think of the Medal of Honor recipient who saved your life.
Hardly a minute goes by that you don't think that you're responsible. Your life is the gift from somebody who chose to honor that commitment, that combat commitment, which is you do for me and I'll do for you.
Well, it's an incredible story. And Steve, we thank you so much for taking the time out of your day and helping to share that with us. It's Steve Benko, who has been joining us live in studio for the past hour or so. He's Western New York's most decorated Vietnam War veteran.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 40%. Up to 40% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.